Philippians 4:13. I ask you to mark the text. It's a good text to know the reference, know the verse. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. October, of course, is Reformation month, the 31st being Reformation Day itself. We always like to bring some Reformation messages at this season of the year. We want to do that today, but we pray that it will be a practical message too, that will be a help to your hearts. I want to emphasize that on the 25th of April, 1599, so that's just a little over 421 years ago, in the town of Huntingdon, which is now in Cambridgeshire, the famous Oliver Cromwell was born. It is true to say that few men have been more misrepresented than Oliver Cromwell. But without doubt, men and women, despite all that is said against him, Oliver Cromwell stands out as a giant of history. In fact, Thomas Carlyle, who was a writer in the 19th century, and in 1845 he produced a volume of Cromwell's letters and speeches, he said that Oliver Cromwell was the greatest man that this nation of ours has ever produced. And if you're even only just a little acquainted with the facts of his life, you would agree wholeheartedly with that assessment. Just think of this. As you think of the life of Oliver Cromwell, here's the man who took on the wicked king, that was Charles I, and hurled him from his throne. Here is the man who tried and executed that very same king. Here is the man who pushed through reforms in our parliament and reconstituted this nation on a new and a better basis. Here's a man who himself ruled the land as Lord Protector when there was no king upon the throne. So Oliver Cromwell was a great and a mighty man indeed. But today, I'm not so concerned about the details of his life. If you want to learn the details, take time to read yourself. Read especially Merle de Bigne's book, Lord Protector, which is considered the classic biography on the life of Oliver Cromwell. I'm not so interested today in the details of his life as I am about the doctrine of his life. I'm interested this morning, and I pray it will be a blessing to you, I'm interested today in what actually guided Oliver Cromwell through his life. And I was amazed to find, in reading and studying a little about him, that there was one verse of Scripture more than any other that influenced the life of this great man of God. And that was this verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You could designate this verse rightfully as Oliver Cromwell's text. That was the title that we took for the sermon today. If I understand the details of his life aright, it was through this text that Oliver Cromwell was converted in the year 1623, when he was about 23 or 24 years of age. But the influence of this text on his life went far beyond his conversion, because it was this verse that kept him and stayed him at every vital point in his life. And what I want to do today is just mention those times, the crisis times in Cromwell's life, that he especially received help and guidance from this text as he passed through. First of all, let me say, this text helped Oliver Cromwell in the path of duty. Just think for a moment about the duties of life. The path of duty, men and women, is often not easy. Maybe you're finding that today. At times, the duty of life, the will of God for our lives, can be very difficult. And that is true even for the Christian, even for the child of God. And that is how it was for Oliver Cromwell. The path of duty, the Lord led him along, was a very severe path. The easy path for Oliver Cromwell would have been to have stayed at home on the farm and ploughed his fields. The easy path for Oliver Cromwell would have been to have sailed to America with his family and set up a new life. Remember, he lived through the time of the Mayflower Pilgrims. This year is the 400th anniversary of the Mayflower setting sail to America. So the easy path for him would have been to have sailed to America with those pilgrims and set up for himself and his family a new life, as he once thought and considered doing. That would have been the easy way. But duty for Oliver Cromwell was much more difficult, because duty for Cromwell meant confronting the Lords, the House of Lords, and the King, challenging the King. Duty for Oliver Cromwell meant leading through a civil war. Duty for Oliver Cromwell meant trying and then executing the King, and then ultimately becoming King himself. Although all through that time he would never take that title. He would never take the title of King. He was known as the Lord Protector. So you just think for a moment of the pressures upon him. Think of the physical and the mental strain, the physical and the mental demands. Think of the lies and the slanders that were told about him in his lifetime, let alone the slanders and the lies that are told about him to this very day. Oliver Cromwell had a big nose. His enemies like to use that. I like to ridicule him, make fun of him as a result of that. So you think of all of those things, men and women, and much more, and then ask yourself, how did he do it? Whenever he was a young man, he wrote this to his cousin, and he said that he was sure that he would never earn the least mite. See, Cromwell's self-assessment of himself was, he thought he was the weakest and the most insignificant man in all England. And yet, he became the strongest. The ploughboy became the protector of the land. He subdued kingdoms. He toppled thrones. But how did he do all that, men and women? He did it by this text. You see, you cannot explain the life of Oliver Cromwell and all that he achieved in his lifetime apart from this verse of Scripture. Because he was able to do all that he did only because God strengthened him for it. God gave him the help and the power that he needed. Whenever he left the farm there in Cambridgeshire and set off for London, he set out on that path in the strength of this verse. This is the promise that God gave to him before he went. A promise of strength for the task. And brethren and sisters, doesn't that encourage you today? Because you can claim this promise too. Perhaps at present, the pathway of duty for you is very hard, very difficult. Responsibilities are heavy, they're increasing. The workload is great, it's getting bigger. The problems are great, even overwhelming in your life. Your health is not good. Maybe the health of another member of your family, that can be very worrying. Maybe for you, people are spreading all sorts of rumors and slanders about you. We mentioned the devil earlier. The word devil means slanderer. Anybody that slanders is doing the work of the devil. And maybe that's what's happening in your life. And you realize that you're not sufficient for these things. You may even despair and ask, how will I be able to cope? How will I be able to continue? How will I be able to walk this path? Well, here's the answer, brethren and sisters, in this verse, Philippians 4:13. Like Oliver Cromwell, you can walk it in God's strength. You can do your duty. You can do the will of God for your life through Christ, who strengthens you. Remember what Paul said to the Ephesian believers, be strong in the Lord. Let me emphasize the words there, in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. We like to think we're strong ourselves, but really our strength is in the Lord and in the power of his might. There is no other way, men and women. If you've never learned that, may the Lord write it upon your heart this morning. There is no other way for the Christian to face all the duties and responsibilities of this life but in the strength of God himself. So this text helped Oliver Cromwell in the pathway of duty. But it also helped him when he had to walk another path, and that was the pathway of despair. The Christian does not escape sorrow, does not escape grief and despair. The believer is not exempt from tragedy in this world and in this life. And Oliver Cromwell had to experience one of the greatest tragedies that anyone could ever experience in this life, because he lost his eldest son, Robert. Robert died about 18 years of age. There's a little bit of uncertainty if you read different accounts. They don't always agree on the details. But Robert died at about 18 on the battlefield at Knaresborough in South Yorkshire. And that happened around the year 1639. And you can imagine, for Oliver Cromwell, that was a bitter blow. He grieved deeply, almost broke his heart. In fact, just to emphasize, if you read the full biography, four of his children, they had nine in total, but four of them died before he did, before his life ended. But how did he cope, men and women, in that hour of despair? How was he able to keep going? Where did he get his comfort and his help from? Again, it came from this text of Scripture. Years later, about 20 years later, whenever he was dying himself in the famous Hampton Court Palace south of London, he asked for this verse to be read, and he specified he wanted it read by someone who was good and godly. And after this verse was read and he heard it once more, this is what he said: "This Scripture did once save my life, when my eldest son, poor Robert, died, which was a dagger to my heart. Indeed it was." So I want you to see, brethren and sisters, it was this text again that helped Cromwell in the time of grief and in the time of despair. He was able to cope in that time of greatest personal loss for this reason. He stood on this promise, and he received strength from on high. And on top of that, the Lord gave him a ministry through his loss. Because Cromwell, remember what Paul said to the Corinthians? Cromwell was able to comfort others in trouble by the same comfort wherewith he had himself been comforted of God. His brother-in-law, Colonel Valentine Walton, also lost a son just a few years later, 1644, in that famous Battle of Marston Moor. And Cromwell wrote to his brother-in-law at that time, and he told him how he had been comforted in his own loss 5 years previous through this text. And this is what he wrote: "You may do all things through the strength of Christ. Seek that, and you shall easily bear your trial." And brethren and sisters, that's sound advice. Sound advice for us all. Some of you here today have experienced that great despair and tragedy that Oliver Cromwell did, the loss of a child. Some of you are passing through other times of trial and despair in your life. And if you are, brethren and sisters, I would want you to be comforted today by the counsel of Oliver Cromwell those many years ago. Just like Elijah, he was a man subject to like passions as we are. "Because you too may do all things through the strength of Christ. Therefore, seek that, brethren and sisters." In other words, seek the strength of Christ in your life, and that will help you more easily to bear your trials. So I want to encourage you: claim the promise, obtain the help of God, obtain the help of God to carry on in life, however difficult it may be. Claim the help of God and the strength of God to carry on amidst all your difficulties and amidst all of your afflictions. So it was a text that helped them for the pathway of duty, the pathway of despair. There's one other I'll mention, and that is, it was a text, finally, that gave him help in the pathway of death. Remember, men and women, death is no respecter of persons. As the wise woman of Tekoa said to King David, we must needs die. Let me stress that to you. I've emphasized it in the children's address this morning already. Even great men must die. And the day came for Oliver Cromwell to face the last battle, the last enemy. The day of his death, the anniversary was last month, the 3rd of September. He died in 1658. He was just 59 years of age. I'll not go into it this morning. I want to highlight it for you. If you've never read the life of Cromwell, take time to read what they did to his body after his death and after his burial. His son Richard took over the protectorate for about 9 months, didn't rule as well as his father, and then the monarchy resumed under Charles the First's son, Charles the Second. You take time just to read what they did in revenge on Oliver Cromwell after his death and his burial. But he died when he was 59 years of age. And on that day, he was still resting. He was still trusting in this text of God's word. Remember I told you that he had it read in his hearing when he was dying at Hampton Court. And then he told how it had comforted him 20 years previously when his son had died. But why did he have it read, men and women, when he was lying on his deathbed? Because again he drew great strength and comfort from it in the day of his own death. Because as he faced death, as he faced the last enemy, as he faced eternity, he did so through Christ, which strengthened him. And what an example that is. Remember, you should purpose in your heart that you want to die well. John said to Charles Wesley, our people die well. You want to die in a way that will glorify the Lord, in a way that will be a testimony to the grace of God and to the power of the gospel. And that's what Oliver Cromwell did. He sets us an example, men and women, about how to die as a child of God, that all of us here today, whoever we are, can learn from. All of us one day will die. Let me remind you of that. There's a sense in which we should live every day in the light of that, the brevity of our time, redeem the time that we have. That is something, men and women, that is very real. And something that causes a lot of concern for folk is the matter of the fear of death. Even Christian people are terrified of dying. Remember, Paul said to the Hebrews, he spoke of those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Let me say to you, men and women, you have nothing to fear. Even when you come to die and face death and eternity. Because on that day, on the day of your death, God will give you the strength. He will give you the strength that you need. Strange as it may seem, there's a little bit of a paradox, a little bit of a contradiction in it, but strange as it may seem, that even though the body will be weak in death, there's a sense in which the Christian will be strengthened for that time and that hour. Paul talked about being strengthened with might by the Spirit and the inner man. So there's a strength in a sense in which the Christian will be strengthened even for that last great enemy and that last great battle. You will get your strength then, men and women, and you will get strength in that hour that you knew at no other time in your life, because God, who supplies our every need, as this chapter of the scriptures tells us, will give you the strength that you need to die. What we sometimes call dying grace. There's grace to live, but he'll give you grace to die. You don't have that grace or that strength now. Do you know why? Because you don't need it now. You're not dying. But when the time comes, as Oliver Cromwell proved, the needed grace and strength will be provided. The Lord will supply it for you. You can do All things. Think of the breadth of the text. You can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. And that includes dying, men and women. That includes passing through death itself. So here is something of Oliver Cromwell's text. It helped him in the pathway of duty, the pathway of despair, the pathway of death. And be in no doubt, it will help you too, if you stand upon it and rely upon it. Really, just let me say in closing, what we learn from this text in Cromwell's life and the influence it had upon his life is this, that as believers, we must face all of life's great crises, not on our own strength, men and women. You know, sometimes the Lord has to awaken us to teach us that. Sometimes that's why we experience ill health. Sometimes we're too strong to experience the fullness of God's help and blessing. So remember, we must face all of life's great crises, not on our own strength. The flesh profiteth nothing. As the hymn that we sang before the message said, the arm of flesh will fail us. But we must face all of life's great crises in His strength, in the strength of Christ. And this verse teaches that strength is readily available, men and women. Readily available to all of us. Here's the promise of it. And I pray the Lord will give you help today to put your faith in it and to rest upon it. I can do all things. That should make you